And thanks for your calls. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. Adam Chan sitting in for Luke Bonar. We can keep the calls going on what you're going to do at Easter and all the questions we were raising before, 133353. But we have Graham Wynn from Superior People Recruitment here. He's going to explain the details of the JobKeeper payment and how to get it and who's eligible. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Adam. How are you today?
You don't sleep. You're always available. This is fantastic. You're the perfect interview talent.
Thank you.
So it's gone through the Parliament with some minor amendments, I believe, from Labor. How does it look to you?
Look, it looks pretty good, to be honest with you. It's not a huge difference to what it was. What they've done, though, is it's not just simply a payment of the $1,500 a fortnight. They've also put a few extra bits and pieces into it now so that employers can reduce your hours to make it you only earn the $1,500 a fortnight, but they can't reduce your hourly rate. So they can reduce your working hours but not change your hourly rate. What they're also able to do, though, is offer you alternative work to do. If they can't do the main job, okay, and we'll use a factory, for instance, where a guy, for instance, in the warehouse, maybe do delivery drives instead. So they can offer alternative employment to you to make you earn that $1,500 per fortnight. Or they can even relocate you as well to somewhere which is not too far away. They haven't put a specific amount, but they're just at a reasonable distance. Mm. Now, if you don't take those options, then you basically become redundant. So that's what they've said to it now. So yes, if we cannot keep your existing job, can we reduce your hours or offer you alternative roles or move you to another site? And if you don't take those options, you become redundant and therefore you just get a normal redundancy that you'd have to get. So that's the real changes to it, that the $1,500 a fortnight is not if you're earning whatever dollars, they can reduce your hours down so you only get the $1,500. The security with it is the tax office are running this. So the tax office will pay the payment to the employer, who has to pay it to the employee, and the tax office records are pretty good, and they will know that it's going to the employee or not.
Right.
Because every time the company does a payroll run, it has to send that straight to the tax office so they can match up. Yes, Joe Blow got 10 lots of payments, and he paid those 10 payments. So it will be fairly secure that the money goes to the right person.
Okay. So what obligations are there on the employee to get this flowing? Is it automatic, or how does it work?
Basically, the obligation is that they've got a job still, of course, or they've been laid off recently.
Yep.
And if the employer can say, yep, okay, we can keep you back on or put you back on, if you've had a payout already because you were made redundant, then no, you can't come back because that's been finalised that. But if you've been simply just stood down or laid off, then you can get the job back up to this $1,500 a fortnight. So instead of doing 40 hours a week, you might only do 12 hours a week or 15 hours a week. But that's how they'll do it. So they can't change your hourly rate, but they can reduce your hours down so you only earn the $1,500.
Right.
So the idea is that if a person earns round figures $3,000 a fortnight, what they're saying is, well, we'll pay $1,500 a fortnight, but we'll only employ you for half the hours. So it's no greater cost to the employer. The initial thought was the employer would still need to keep you on full time and pay the difference.
Sure.
They're now saying, no, you can reduce the hours down so they only earn $1,500 a fortnight.
Okay. My guest is Graham Wynn, Superior People Recruitment. He's taking questions on the JobKeeper payment that passed the Parliament today. Please call in now, 133353 with your questions for Graham. Labor's got a concern about the casuals who've been employed for less than 12 months. They're not getting this payment. Why? And do you think it's fair?
It's a difficult one, this one, and Labor certainly wanted that to be changed, but the governor stuck pretty true to this and said we need to draw a line somewhere. We have to draw a line somewhere, and they've used this 12 months as their line in the sand.
Okay.
It's a little bit unfair. I would have thought maybe 6 months possibly would be more fair than 12 months, because 6 months is quite a long time to work as a casual for one employer. So I would have thought that was a bit fairer, but then there's the cost involved with it, and maybe they just couldn't afford that. But they've drawn a line in the sand. They said 12 months, that's it, and they're not going to back down on that. Labor would have liked that to have changed, but at least they didn't not pass this today, so it went through at least. That's the important thing. It went through Parliament so that we could all start getting it.
Yeah.
I think 6 months would have been a fairer time frame, definitely.
But isn't it remarkable, though, when something has to be done, politics gets put to one side, there's no pandering to the crossbenches, there's no deals, there's no stalling, it just got done. That was such a breath of fresh air for me.
It's a shame it can't happen normally, isn't
it? Yes, exactly. That's one thing that we will not want to give up when the coronavirus emergency is finished. Is
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's take some calls now for Graham. David's in Brisbane. G'day, David.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you. Got a question for Graham?
Yes, Graham. Yes, could David. You please tell me? Yeah, how are you going? When the stimulus package was first announced, I'm a full-time personal carer, and my wife is on a disability pension, and they said we were going to receive, I'm not sure whether it was a couple or as individuals, a $750 bonus to our, because we live fortnight to fortnight, obviously, from the disability pension. And I just haven't heard a thing about it since it was first announced. I was wondering if you'd tell me, is it still going to go ahead?
The answer is yes, and payments started rolling out at the end of March, but they said there are so many different of these 750 payments to make, it can take 2 to 3 weeks. So anybody who's getting allowances of any description, carers, whatever allowance they are, you will get your 750. As I said, they started rolling out at the end of March, but they did say it will take 2 to 3 weeks for everybody to see it, so I'm fairly sure yours will turn up.
Good. Thanks for that, David. Let's go to Adam in Melbourne. Hi, Adam.
Good evening, Adam and Graham. How are you?
Very well, mate.
That's the way. Just wanted to ask a question. Look, I've been laid off a week and a half ago. A company was really good leading up to it. I'm a bus driver, driving people from the airport to the city and other areas, direct service. Obviously, we saw it slowing down for quite a number of weeks leading up to the whole shutdown. Now, I just wanted to ask, can I, if I'm still receiving... or if I start receiving the job seeker allowance from my employer through the government, can I, my employer, can I still work at another place and still earn an income there and receive that, or does one cut out if I start another?
If your employer is getting the job keeper allowance for you, you can work elsewhere. You can take in a second or third job, definitely. So they're not restricting you in that way at all. So yes, if your employer qualifies and you get the job keeper allowance from the employer, then you can take up a second job, yes.
Right, okay. And then obviously you just don't nominate the first, the tax-free benefit at the start.
Correct. The job keeper allowance will be the tax-free component. So if you actually earn, take a second job up, then depending what you earn there, that'll be the taxable component.
Excellent. Thank you for your help.
No problem.
Good one. Let's go to Kelly in Melbourne. Hello, Kelly.
Yeah, good day. How are you going, Graham?
Good,
listen, Graham, I want to ask you a question. Now, this is serious. Of course it's serious. I wouldn't be being up otherwise.
Everything's serious.
Yes, right. Now, I'm not going to say who I work for. I'm working at the moment. But the thing is, we had a toolbox man the other week, and we'd more or less get an ultimatum. If you don't take the drop in money, we don't need you. Now, we've been dropped from, say, a base rate, just on $5 an hour. Can they do that to you? And knowing that everything's going to come through?
I don't know the whole ifs and buts, so I can't make a full call on that. But the way the JobKeeper payment's made at the moment is that an employer can ask you to reduce your hours. He can't reduce your hourly rate, but he can reduce your hours. Definitely, yes.
Yeah, so the hours are there, but we just dropped from $13.50 down to $27.86. Like it, lump it, or leave it. Now, some of the other states have done it, and they are no longer working.
Look, obviously I don't know the whole ins and outs of what's going on there, but as I said, the legislation that went through today said that they can reduce your working hours to get the JobKeeper payment, but not your hourly rate. They can change your duties and move you to a different location, but they cannot change your hourly rates. If you're doing 40 hours a week at $30, they can't drop that down to $15 an hour and then get the $1,500 fortnightly payment. They can't do that. Under the JobKeeper.
Can I cut in here, Graham? If you have a situation where someone is not happy with the situation and there's no union to talk to, who should employees go to
Fair
clear
work.
Up stuff? To Fair Work.
Fair Work. And the good thing with this $1,500 the JobKeeper, that is being run through the Fair Work system, not through the individual EBAs. So because Fair Work are operating that, they are also the right people to talk to. And I've worked with Fair Work before. They're very, very good. If you raise something with them, an employer is doing the wrong thing, they will certainly go to bat for you, definitely.
That sounds like a really good suggestion there, Kelly. I'd suggest you take it up if you can't get satisfaction from the boss. Let's go to Keith in Melbourne. G'day, Keith.
Hey, how you going, Adam?
Good, mate.
Just got a couple of questions. My wife works in the hospitality industry, and their company is quite a large company throughout Australia. and they're not eligible for the job seeker, job keeper, sorry. But then she goes for the job seeker because I make X amount of dollars. She's not entitled to anything.
So the only reason she wouldn't qualify as a job keeper is because she's been casual for less than 12 months. That would be the only reason for that. Or their turnover hasn't dropped significantly. So companies who qualify for it, still based on to prove their turnover has dropped. If you're a smallish business by 30%, if you're a large corporation by 50%, now if the company can't show their turnover has dropped, they won't qualify for the job keeper allowance. And you're right, if your partner then goes to job seeker as unemployed and you're earning above the $80,000 threshold, she won't qualify for that either. That's just how it works, unfortunately, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay then.
Yeah, the threshold used to be about $48,000. They've upped that to $80,000 now at least, so they've nearly doubled that. But yeah, if your partner goes for job seeker allowance and you're earning above that capacity, then unfortunately she won't qualify for it, no.
So how did they sort of work out the current unemployed, how they get double the money and she's not entitled to anything?
That's one of life's great mysteries, that one. And those who were already unemployed prior to the COVID happening, who are having their allowances doubled, I think that's the one query a lot of people have, why they're getting that, because their situation isn't any worse than it already was. And no one's come up with a suitable response to that one yet. But that's the one that people do question, why their payment was doubled. Certainly that's a big query, yes.
Okay, let's go to Tex in Brisbane. G'day, Tex.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
Listen, I was just wondering, us workers that are still working, like I'm a security patrol officer, do we get any benefits whatsoever? I mean, the people on the dole got a bonus. Fair enough, the people have just lost their job because of the coronavirus. Yeah, they deserve double dole. But what about us that are still working? I mean, at the moment, if I lose my job, I'm better off. I'm $30 better off a week on the dole than what I am at working.
It's only for 6 months, though, by the way.
Correct. Only for 6 months.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But, you know, where's our incentive to being out there in the front line, putting our lives at risk of catching this virus, and we get nothing for it?
It's really difficult, that one. And I think a lot of people, if I use the childcare allowance, for instance, a lot of people say, well, I'm better off staying at home with my children because it's so expensive to put kids in childcare rather than go to work. I'd be worse off. So this is a bit of a inequality we have in some of the payments, that sometimes you are better off to stay home, and that's just unfortunate. But I think the benefit to you is, yes, you might be slightly worse off, but you've got a job as a big benefit.
Yep.
No doubt about that. And when we get through all this, which we will get through all this, there'll be so many people out of work, and employers will not mass recruit. It's going to be a gradual recruitment. So if you're out of work at the moment, when they do start employing again, you're going to be competing against a lot of other people with experience. So if you're currently working, even if slightly worse off financially, keep that job, because you'll be in a much better position come the other side of this.
That's very good advice there. We're talking with Graham Wynn, Superior People Recruitment. If you've got a question for him about the new JobKeeper package, give us a call on 133353. This is The Night Shift on Triple M. Graham Wynn is happy to keep taking calls about employment and the JobKeeper packages that's just been passed by the Parliament. Give us a call on 133353 and Graham will take your call. Amanda is there. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Graham's on the line.
Morning, Amanda.
I'm pretty good, thank you. I'm just checking. My partner's been full-time employed for 10 months. If his company qualifies, would he get that JobKeeper allowance?
Yes, if he's a permanent employee, yes, he qualifies straight away. It's only the casual staff that need to have been there for 12 months. But permanent employees, he will qualify, yes.
Oh, wow, because the way you read it, it's like you have to have been there over 12 months.
No, that's just casual employees. But permanent staff, if they're employed on the 1st of March, they will qualify for it straight away. Yeah, they'll get it, yes. It's only casuals who have to work there for 12 months.
I think you just changed the colour of Amanda's Easter there, Graham. Thanks for that. Let's go to Karen in Brisbane. Hi, Karen.
Yes. I'm on full-time disability pension, and my husband's full-time personal carer, and they mentioned something about a stimulus package, and we're married, and I was wondering if we get a $750 stimulus package bonus each, and when do we get it, please?
Okay, so basically the way it works is if you're getting individual different care allowances, you're getting a disability payment, he's getting the care allowance as separate payments, then you'll both get the $750 payment. So every individual getting an allowance, if he's claiming two types of allowances, he'll only get one payment. But if you're claiming one each, then you'll both get the $750. As I say, they started rolling these out at the end of March, but they will take at least 2 to 3 weeks for everyone to receive them. So they'll be on the way to you if you haven't received it yet.
Okay.
Adam, my husband turned the radio on and I didn't catch what you said. Could you repeat it for me, please?
Sure.
Which bit? The beginning of the show? No, can't do that. I bored them once. I'm not going to do it again. Yeah, I think we're dealt with, Karen. Let's move on. Let's go to Daniel in Brisbane. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
I'm just wondering, is the $1,500, are they taking tax out of that, or do the people actually get the $1,500?
No, it's tax-free. You get the whole $1,500.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Because that puts you under the tax threshold, that $1,500 a fortnight. So it's tax-free, yes.
Perfect. Thanks, Daniel. Let's go to Leah in Melbourne. Hi, Leah.
Hi, how are you going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Just a question. I was studying, and I was receiving study allowance, and obviously the school's been shut down. I'm doing beauty school. I got an email from Centrelink stating that last week that my payments have now stopped and I won't be getting any more. However, the study period doesn't finish until April, the end of April. So now I'm wondering, I've been trying to get through to Centrelink, can't get through. Then I've got on to MyGov and I can't continue on the MyGov site. Now I don't know whether I should be going into Centrelink to ask for job seeker allowance or whether I should stay on the study allowance until April. What should I do?
The MyGov site is the easiest way to do it. Now, there is a button on that MyGov site that says, I intend to lodge a claim. If you click on that button, that's all you need to do. Centrelink will then contact you at some stage and go through the process with you. So if you already have a Centrelink registration number, you can go online and do it properly yourself. But it takes probably about 45 minutes to go through the whole thing. If you don't have a Centrelink registration number yet, there's a button that just says, I intend to make a claim, and then Centrelink will contact you by phone when they get through all these calls and explain to you what happens next. So the MyGov website is definitely the right one to go through. As I say, if you've got a Centrelink registration, there's a part you click on, claim Centrelink, and it's about a 45-minute process. They ask lots of questions, ask for certain information. But if you don't have a registration number yet, there's a button that just says, I intend to apply, and they will contact you.
Okay. Right. And so because they've stopped my payments, I was only getting $300 a fortnight prior to this happening. Does that mean that, because I'm not getting the study allowance at this stage, I'm not going to get the $1,500, or what happens there?
You will probably qualify for the job seeker allowance, therefore.
Okay, so once I get through and go through all the process with that, and then they should then obviously pay it into my account or whatever.
Correct, yes.
Right. Thanks, Leah. Let's go to Felice in Melbourne. G'day, Felice.
Hi there. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, so if I get the JobKeeper allowance, am I eligible for a healthcare card?
Good question.
Really good question, that one. And I must admit, I can't give you a definitive answer on that one.
We've stumped the smartest bloke in the world with this one.
Yeah, there's so many reasons why you get a health card. Because, I mean, health card is given not just because you're not earning money. Health card is given for health reasons as well. So it depends on what reasons you're qualifying for the health card. Because just the fact you're earning money sometimes doesn't stop you getting a health card. So it all depends on why you've got the health card in the first place.
Well, I think you've answered that one as well. See, we can't stump you, buddy. It's fantastic. Thanks for the call, mate. Let's go to Rob in Brisbane. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, boys. How are you going?
Excellent. Thanks.
Just a quick query. My brother's on a DVA pension, I'm his registered carer, but I also work full time. He's got his 750 payment. Do I qualify for the 750 payment as well?
Are you receiving a payment as a carer?
No, I get a carer's payment from DVA as his registered carer.
So is that through Centrelink, is it?
No, that's through Department of Veterans Affairs.
No, because it's basically payments through the Centrelink system. So you probably won't get that, no.
Okay.
So where does that leave you, Rob?
Okay. Well, that leaves me just working full-time as per normal.
Yeah, right.
Bugger.
Well, thanks for your call and thanks for your brother's service too. Let's go to Linda in Brisbane. Hi, Linda.
Hello, how are you?
Excellent, thanks.
That's good. I've got a question. I've been unemployed since October. I was on contract work and I lost my job and I haven't been able to get any work at all, and that's really trying hard since October. Normally you can pick up some contract work, but because of the economy, I haven't been able to. But my question is, I'm not entitled to Centrelink because I had savings, which I'd already paid tax on, of course, because you pay extra tax on interest on savings. And now that this has happened, just last week alone, I had four cancellations of the position advertised because of this virus economy problem. So now I've just got to go and watch my savings, life savings, get eaten away, get nothing for it, no chance of getting a job because I'm up in the higher age group as well. And then you hear on the radio that they're giving Qantas staff and that call centre jobs that I've applied for. It's I've got qualifications. I've got, it's not as if not work ready or anything. How is that fair that I've just got to sit there and get my savings eaten away because the economy is as such? And it's just so hard to get work normally. Now it's virtually impossible.
What sort of work you're looking for in a call centre work? Is that what you said?
No, well, I'm an AP. I've got accounts receivable. I've got a customer service. I've got just about all clerical work.
Right.
Experience for many, many years. And I've been trying hard, and I've never found it hard to get work before. But this time it's really, really hard. It's just heartbreaking. You just get up each day, you've got nowhere to go, you get lost in it. And you apply for jobs and then they get recalled.
And that was even before coronavirus.
Yeah. The only thing I would say on that is that With the COVID now, what's happening basically is Centrelink are not doing an assets test on people who are now applying. So before this all happened, yes, you were asset tested before you got benefits. They're now not doing asset tests. So I would therefore suggest you do try and register for Centrelink again, because they're not doing asset tests at the moment at all. They've cancelled that and just saying, times are different. We can't do asset tests. People need help. So I would certainly suggest you try and re-register for Centrelink, because they have changed the rules on asset tests.
That sounds like good news for you, Linda.
No, it's not, because I have already done that. I went through the ombudsman. As such, I haven't heard back yet, but I did apply for the situation change and my thing hasn't changed, so... It's just bad luck, Freddie.
You've gone back in recent days, have you?
Yes, yeah.
I see.
Oh, that's interesting, because they're definitely advertising they're not doing asset testing at all. They've scrapped that completely. So that's surprising, that.
Ooh, you might want to check that, Linda, again. At the risk of being boring. Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Linda. Let's go to Steve in Melbourne. G'day, Steve.
Hey, how you going?
Good, thank you.
I rang earlier. But my question to you in regards to the $1,500 a fortnight, and someone said earlier it was tax-free.
Yep,
it is.
What's the go with if you're paying child maintenance? Do you still have to pay child maintenance out at $1,500 because it's tax-free, or what's the score?
No, the $1,500 is a complete payment to you. It's separate to anything else whatsoever. It has no other link with anything else. So this is a straight $1,500. The tax office give the employer, and the employer must give it to the employee. So that $1,500 is yours. So if you have done an arrangement, though, for any income you earn, where you must then make a payment from that income, that will still apply. Under a lot of the payments for family allowance, the employer will sometimes take it off you first and you get the net amount. Under this arrangement, the employer doesn't take it. If you pay individually yourself, you'll still need to, but employers cannot withhold from it themselves if they were previously doing that.
Oh, beautiful. No worries. And one more quick question. If it was for next week that I do lose my job for because of things being so tight, am I able to withdraw my super?
Don't. Don't. Worst time to do it. The markets have been crushed. It's an ugly thing. If you can possibly avoid it, don't do it.
Yeah,
my partner's going to take 50%.
Yeah, I said the simple answer, you're allowed to, but avoid it if you don't have to do it.
You're robbing yourself of the future, I'm afraid, at this point. If you've got another choice, but people are saying don't do it. Okay.
And so you can only take up to 10 grand as well. So you can't take the whole amount, but if you don't have to, don't do it.
Right. That was Chris. We go to Danny now in Sydney. Hello, Danny.
Fellas, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Two really quick questions. So something that I can't find any information on is what's available for the self-employed?
Okay, self-employed, basically, if you have just purely self-employed, just you, you will actually qualify. If you can justify your income's dropped by 30%, you will get the JobKeeper payment yourself. So the self-employed get that JobKeeper payment.
And then how do I initiate that?
You go onto the Australian Tax Office website, the ATO website, and again, there's a button on there saying, I intend to apply. You just click that button, you put your details in there, your name, address, all that, and then the tax office will contact you and they'll go through the process. Yes, you therefore have had a drop in income, therefore you will get the JobKeeper payment, and it's backdated to the end of March. The payments will start coming through in May, but it'll be backdated to the end of March, and you will therefore qualify for that if you can show your income's dropped by 30%, basically. So go to the tax office website and just click the button that says, I intend to apply. You put your basic details in and they will contact you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Danny. Let's go to Chris in Brisbane. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. You there?
Yes, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question for Graham?
Just a quick question. Graham was, my daughter's working in hospitality. She's been casual for 11 months with her current employer.
Mm-hmm.
She worked casual for a previous employer and went from one job straight to the next. Does that mean she's entitled to this JobKeeper or not?
No, it has to have been 12 months with the same employer.
Yeah.
So no, she won't qualify, unfortunately.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's go to Scott and Bathurst. G'day, Scott.
How you going?
Good, thanks, mate.
I've got a 17-year-old daughter. She's in a second year apprenticeship in hospitality, and there's a chance that the pub may close because of what's going on. Does she qualify for that $1,500 JobKeeper because she lives at home or not?
Well, it's the employer that qualifies for it, not the job seeker.
Okay.
It's the employer. So if they qualify for it and they can therefore still keep her on their books, then yes, she'll get it. Is she casual or permanent? Or she's apprentice?
No, she's permanent. Second year apprentice.
Right. So therefore, yes, if they can keep her on and they qualify, then yes, she'll get it.
Okay, then no dramas at all.
Good news. Good news indeed. Thanks, Scott. Let's go to Shane in Brisbane. G'day, Shane.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Mate, look, I've got a question for Graham. My situation's a bit of a confusing one. I'm a disability support worker, so not a carer on a carer pension, but an actual worker.
Yeah.
I've got three clients. With one of them, I work casually, employed by his mother. Mm-hmm. For the other two, I'm a sole trader. What is my route of action? Because all of my shifts have gone completely down because I used to do community access and right now there's no community to access.
Yeah.
Right. So you would fall under that self-employed banner, basically. I'm assuming you've got an ABN number yourself?
I do, yes.
Right. So you would fall under the self-employed banner. You don't employ staff. You're purely self-employed. So if you can show your income's dropped by 30%, then you will qualify personally for the JobKeeper allowance.
For the job seeker, not the job keeper.
No, the job keeper. Self-employed people who can show a drop in income will qualify for the JobKeeper allowance themselves. So the idea is that will keep you going, hopefully, as a sole trader. And again, same process, go onto the ATO website, register to say, yes, I intend to make a claim, put your details in, they will contact you and go through the process.
So now I've already been onto my gov.
Yep.
Well, that's for the job. Before I found out about any of this.
Yep. So basically the way it works is, so basically what's happened is a lot of people are doing the same thing. They're not quite sure which one they qualify, the job seeker or the job keeper. So you go through the process you've already started, and if job seeker suddenly say, yes, you can have it, but then the tax office say you can get the job keeper, they'll just swap it across to the other one. So you only get one or the other. But if you started one process, fine, keep doing that. And if it turns out you qualify for the job keeper one, then the tax office will take over that payment rather than Centrelink.
Right, but I don't need to do anything on my end to swap it over?
No, they deal with that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
All right. Good one. Another good result there, Graham.
I'm trying.
we could take calls all night on this. There's plenty of questions there, that's for sure. So how could people contact you, Graham, if they need more information or even a job?
So basically, our website's the easiest place. All our contact details and phone numbers on our website, which is superiorpeople.com.au.
Fantastic. And Graham, we'll have to get you back next week because I'm sure there'll be more and more questions as people access the detail of these packages. So thanks for your time, Graham.
Not a problem at all, Adam. Take care.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. That's Graham Wynn, Superior People Recruitment and Night Shift's employment expert. And we'll get him back next week. This is